Okay, so Yaakov tikin tefilas arvish shenemar vayifka b'makom vayolan shem kiva hashamesh vayolan shem tefilas mariv. So there are two striking features of this pasuk. Obviously, the most striking is the very irregular lashon of tefila. Avram's lashon of tefilas amida. We spoke about how amida conveys some of the essence of tefila. Yitzchak's conversation, letzuach basada. Yaakov is pegia. The second part of the pasuk b'makom we'll talk about a little bit later this week. In the modern world, many people have a difficult time envisioning tefillah as altering the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even religious people who believe in God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providential, infinite, in no way impacted by human behavior. How does our tefillah, maybe just stand guys and we'll get chairs later, how does our tefillah, can it really alter the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A very famous statement, I think by Kierkegaard, that tefillah doesn't change God, it changes the prayer, and it's meditative and contemplative, and it is that as well. It's meant to be an opportunity to think about religion and to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll speak about this later in the week, when we speak about Naftali's name and how that interacts with tefillah. But this parsha reminds us that a human being can really alter the will of Hashem. The word vayifka literally means to affect. So when Avram wants to meet Ephron, ufiguli be'Ephron v'nsocha, let me meet Ephron, I don't just want to have tea with him, I want to convince him, I want to sway his opinion so that I'll purchase Maris Machpeh. Rus is trying to convince Naomi not to discourage her. Al tifki bi'lozvech, stop trying to convince me to leave you, to abandon you. I won't, I'm coming back, b'asher tolin alin, b'asher temusi amus. So to change someone's opinion is connoted by the term lifgoa. In fact, in the modern Hebrew, pigua is a terror incident because it tries to create a change in a very physical and graphic fashion. So Yaakov is actually being pokean Hashem. I mean, it's a hard term for us to describe, but he wants to change the will of Hashem. And the truth is, this is really the first of the three classic tefillos in Bereishis where someone has something to daven for. Remember, Avram davens the day after stone. I'm sure there were daily events that were necessary, but the big drama had already flattened. The stone was already overturned. And Yitzchak davens in the field, and it's ironic that he davens after. We see him davening after Rivka has already been selected, as opposed to the Eved, who was to daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance in the selection process. And we talked about that davening, but Yitzchak's davening is highlighted. So davening until this point hasn't really been showcased as an attempt to change Hashem's will. Avram davens for Avimelech, but at this point, Yaakov has everything to daven for. He's alone. He's stalked. His murderous brother is after him. He doesn't know his future. And interestingly enough, he hasn't even been spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To me, that's the most striking part of this whole process. Hashem hasn't spoken with him yet. He's deceptive. He's been performing sabotage. He must be laced with doubt, riddled with uncertainties. HaKadosh Baruch Hu approve of what I did. I know this isn't my parents, but I was a thief. And am I the selected one, or am I just some petty criminal? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't spoken to him yet. So he davens for everything. It's an all or nothing. It's an entire pot. And he davens to affect Hashem's will. And he does appear to affect the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's something else about this, that the two times that I just mentioned, the word pegia, whether it's Avram and Ephron, or Rut and her mother-in-law, both of those ufiguli altifki ibi are long, drawn-out negotiations, back and forth. They're not a statement made. I want to tell something to Chaim, and he'll listen to me, as I'm sure he will the first time I say it. These are back and forth, and Avram is negotiating several rounds from Maris Machpelah. Figuli, bring me to the next round. And Rut has been trying to, or Naomi has been trying to dissuade Rut from returning. She says, altifki ibi. So now he's davening. You assume it's just a one-minute conversation. You lodge your request, and you move on to the next bracha. And sometimes it's a struggle. It's a back and forth in your mind. You say something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you think about, well, has Hashem, Hashem doesn't speak to you, but has Hashem hear what I'm saying, and do I deserve that, or why am I asking, or what am I asking for? It's not something that you should take as if it's just, I think sometimes we reach Shmoneh Esrei because there are 18 brachas, so we're moving very quickly. It has a staccato feel to it. Burst, 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 burst. Refuah, bracha, tchanin das, shlema. As opposed to a negotiation that's very rigorous. It takes a while to unfold. It has twists and turns to it. And I think that when the Torah employs the term vayifka b'makom vayalan shem, Yaakov is negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his tefillah. So most importantly, the conveyance of this parasha is that tefillah changes Hashem's will. And Yaakov is pogan Hashem. And to a degree, I mean, think of it this way. Tefillah is a war, so to speak. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in the context of tefillah, not the enemy, because they're not your enemy, but you're trying to change the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to war to try to, and when you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara has some very graphic terminology to describe Moshe. Vayichal Moshe es p'nei Hashem ulokav. Point to one day in the Gemara in Brachas Lamedal, he takes Hashem by the neck, by the cuff, and he says, I'm not going to let go until you forgive the Jewish people. And he turns Hashem into a choleh, or he turns Hashem into, again, in Chazal's terminology, a woman is weak, so he turns Hashem into a female, into a nekeva. Okay, and when you daven, when you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you daven for Am Yisrael, you still have the right to be more aggressive. Tefillah for Am Yisrael could be much more assertive, and tefillah for Yachad should be much more undeserving and meek and humble. But we'll talk about that also, different types of tefillah. But it's interesting to think about how Yaakov's tefillah is described as Vayifka b'makom. We'll talk about makom a little bit in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Okay, let's take a break, get some chairs in the room. Maybe I'll go speak to the office. We have to keep the chairs in the room. We have a dearth of chairs here, so stop.